Let's do this. Get set.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Jasinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the
and
road.
For a little run I did. When I got actually, I think we're up to about 25 a week. I'm actually running with one of my neighbors. We go out every morning, and we do a 5K every. And our goal is to do it 5 to 6 times a week. And we've been kind of plugging away at it. We're going to do it all winter long. This is Chris Jasinski. Welcome to Running Flat Radio. If you're unfamiliar with Running Flat Radio, it's a show, believe it or not, all about running and endurance, and sometimes cycling, sometimes triathlon. And I've got a really, really special golden guest co-host tonight with me. Melissa Bishop joins us in the studio. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. And congratulations on your silver medal at the World Championships in Beijing.
Thank you.
And I do want to talk more about Beijing and what's next for you and a little bit later on the show. Also on the show today, believe it or not, a guy who ran a half marathon in a suit. Totally decked out in a suit, broke the world record, the Guinness World Book of Records, at I believe it was a 135 half marathon in a suit at Scotiabank. So he's going to join us. Nicholas Mazera is going to join us as well, coming out. And you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. One is this Friday, we're going to open up Le Chocolat. Everyone's been driving me crazy because everybody wants to be a part of Le Chocolat. May 1st, 2016. It's this race that we do here in Windsor, Ontario. And it's all about chocolate. It's all about firemen. It's all about wine. And there's a 5K that anybody can join in. There's a 10K. And there's also a 10K National Age Group Championships, which is sanctioned by Athletics Canada. And then we've also got a half marathon that originally I wasn't going to do. But I had so many emails and so many calls from people saying, you got to bring the half marathon back to Windsor. So it is back May 1st, Le Chocolat. Registration is going to open this Friday, and you're going to love the swag that we got this year for you. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. We're going to maybe talk about it in a couple of weeks, but Le Chocolat is coming out. Pelee Island Winery Half Marathon is sold out, so if you want to get on the guest list, on the waiting list we have, carla@runningflat.com is the way to get there. But we've got a number of announcements coming up in November. We're going to talk in November about Canada Day. Canada Day is such a critical event for us, especially in this region. And we're going to talk about the top three vote getters of who are the great Canadians for this year that people are going to vote on to be on the medal for this year. And, you know, it's been crazy. We've had everyone from Rusty the Rooster and Friendly Giant, and we've had Rush, Mike Myers, Dan Aykroyd. Almost any famous Canadian you can think of has been nominated for this. The one thing that has been lacking, and this has been going on for a number of years, and I try to combat this, is we don't have enough women being nominated for that award.
Right.
And, you know, so Laura Secord's been nominated. Clara Hughes has been nominated as well. And we do talk about it when nominations do open up that, hey, you know, if you really want to vote for a female, then, you know, there's lots of females to vote for, and we do suggest a couple as well, but it's all about the votes. I mean, I can only do what I have for a number of votes, and that's what we do at Running Flat. So a couple things as well. I'm on fire tonight because I'm still pissed off about this whole Steve Jones comment. So if you joined me last week, you heard my diatribe about Steve Jones. Steve Jones is a 208 marathoner, had the world record in 1984-85. He's 60 years old today and lives in Boulder, Colorado, decided to open up his trap about marathon runners. Just because you run it, you're not a marathoner. Uh-huh. So, you know, and here's the direct quote. Mass participation has hurt the sport. In my mind, it has made a lot of people a lot of money, and I have to be careful for what I say because being called out for it sometimes. But I don't believe that starting and finishing a marathon makes you a marathoner. I don't believe that. If you're racing it and you go as fast as you can, it's completely different than being a part of an event and just going from point A to point B. Oh boy. So you know what? I'm not gonna riff on Steve Jones any longer. The reality is, putting on those shoes and taking that journey makes you whatever runner you want to be, and it's irrelevant what and he is an elite athlete, what he says or what he thinks. And so I posted this article on the Facebook page of ours for Running Flat Radio, and I got this really interesting kind of response from different folks. Dave Richards actually wrote a wonderful comment, and I really want to share it with you because it really inspired me to kind of think of, you know, that's what this show has been about for a number of years and why it's been on the air. So Dave Richards replies to this article by saying, I really need to comment on this. I'll try to make it a long story short. 3 years ago, I was over 300 pounds. I wasn't able to climb a flight of stairs without sitting on the top step. I could walk on flat surfaces for quite a distance, but any exertion would make me lose my breath. I joined a weight loss place, the one with the points in the meetings, you know, Fluorine Mark and Weight Watchers, of course. And as the weight came off, I did a bit more moving. I actually eventually did a bit of jogging as well, and started to do a few 5Ks, and then three quarters walking, one quarter jogging. But it was a start, and eventually, and fearfully, I signed up for the Detroit Free Press Marathon. Nothing like going from 0 to 100, but that's okay because he set himself a goal. And I signed up for the Free Press Marathon, all 26.2 of it. I panicked all the way through it and the miles, and trying to get over it. But I knew that I'd be back of the pack and come race day. In October of 19th of 2014, after getting no sleep, he was at the start line. It was the worst day and the best day of his life. But he still hadn't lost all the weight by this point, and he had about 45 pounds to go. He crossed the finish line in 5 hours, 54 minutes and 19 seconds, and there were still people behind him. And I guess according to Mr. Jones, I did my best, but if you read the article before I ran it, I would not have signed up. I ran it again this year, and I bettered my time by 15 minutes. I'll be signing up for next year and eventually get faster and faster. And maybe one day I'll run past Mr. Jones. I won't explain that comment to you after that, blah, blah, blah. But I look forward to getting out and doing it again. And my best is when I hit the start button on my gadget. And I look forward to pushing myself. Some days it's not easy and nearly not as good as the day before, but I'm still moving forward. And I think Mr. Jones needs to realize that there was a time that he ran only one or two marathons. I do not consider myself, but I do consider myself a marathoner now. He'll be doing his third marathon next year, and he's a motivating guy, and he's motivated, and he knows that there's lots of people out there doing this, and I thank him for his comments, and that's the reality, folks. Just start by lacing up your shoes, start walking. Get out there and run to the end of the road and then walk to the next road and then try to run halfway down the other road. And that's how we all start and that's how we all run. And eventually you get better and better and better at it. You are listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW. We'll be right back after these messages.
Winter of 2016 is upon us, and according to the Farmer's Almanac, it's gonna be a doozy.
Yipper. Says right here, 2016. Doozy.
The 2016s are here. At your Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram retailer, it's gonna be a diesel. Get a new Ram 1500, Canada's only light-duty diesel pickup, at 0% financing. This forecast calls for great offers.
Yep, says great offers in the Almanac, too.
See retailer for details.
AM 800 Weather is brought to you by Dorco. Think fall, get your LiftMaster belt drive garage door opener, two remotes, keypad, and surge protector installed for only $425 plus HST. Only at Dorco Garage Doors, your trusted LiftMaster dealer.
From the AM800 Weather Center, here is your latest forecast. A rainfall warning is in effect. Heavy rain expected this evening, up to 20 millimeters with some high wind gusts, getting down to a low of 12. Tomorrow, heavy rain continuing with winds gusting up to 70 clicks. Look for a high of 17. For Thursday, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a high 9. Friday, a mix of sun and cloud, the high 12. Once again, a rainfall warning is in effect. Heavy rain expected throughout the night, up to 20 millimeters with some high wind gusts, getting down to a low of 12.
On Sunday, November 1st, Cystic Fibrosis Canada, Essex Kent Chapter will be hosting the ticket launch for the third annual Princess Ball. It's a magical event presented by Bello Metal Recycling and LGS Industries. Tickets go on sale at Devonshire Mall by the Bay November 1st at 11 a.m. First come, first serve. Tickets are $50, cash only. Don't miss the third annual Princess Ball, Saturday, January 23rd at the magical Chichero Club Castle. Purchase your tickets November 1st, 11 a.m. by the Bay at Devonshire Mall. Sponsored by AM800, this event will sell out. Get your tickets on November 1st.
Got 'em. Need 'em. Want 'em. Buy 'em. Love 'em. Trade 'em. Got 'em. Need 'em. Want 'em. Buy 'em. Love 'em. Trade 'em. Got 'em. Need 'em.
Tim Hortons new NHL Upper Deck trading cards are here. Grab a pack for just $1 plus taxes with any beverage purchase. Plus, you can collect and trade digital cards online for a chance to win great prizes. So get 'em before they're gone. No purchase necessary. Open to Canadians 13 or over. Skill testing question required. Full contest rules, including prizes available to be won at collecttowin.ca.
AM 800 CKLW.
Oh, you're wonderful. I listen to you religiously.
The place to talk in Windsor, Essex.
I love you.
Return to the moon.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. That is Return to the Moon by Elvi. Finally, we have licensed the music from Beggar's Banquet. That is the soundtrack to the Craft Draft 5K video. Go watch it on YouTube. You can catch it on any of our Facebook channels there. And great song, and it took 12 weeks to license that music. It's like having a kid. Anyway, you're listening to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski and Melissa Bishop joins me in studio. And on the live line, we've got Nicholas Mazzera, who is a professional editor and journalist based in Toronto. He has lent his unique voice and sense of style to prominent print and digital lifestyle publications, including Sharp Magazine, Toronto Life, and Daily XY. He's also appeared on television, radio, and reporting the news and providing his expertise. When he's not on assignment, Nicholas is a stylish guy, and he's the stylish guy behind The Gentleman Journalist, and it's a blog for like-minded creatives who find advice on outfit inspirations, reviews, interviews, opinions, and accounts for his latest adventures in the media and the fashion industry. He also belongs to the Pace and Mind Running Group. And at the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, he broke the Guinness World Book of Records record for running the half marathon in a suit. He ran a 1:35:48 for 13.1 miles. Nicholas, welcome to Running Flat Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I got to ask you, what are you wearing?
I'm actually wearing that exact suit, at least the top. I've got the blazer on and some Pacinos.
So I gotta ask you, I mean, obviously you're a fashion inspired journalist. Who put you up to running in a suit for a half marathon?
Like many of the best parts of my life, I would say that my girlfriend suggested it. She was looking through a bunch of Guinness World Records that would be potentially beatable at a SDWM by non-elite runners, and she came upon this one, and she's like, you know what, this would be perfect for you. And I thought about it for a while, but I don't think a BQ is in the cards for me this year, and probably not for at least another year or two. I said, all right, I'll sign me up.
You know, I think I had a friend who ran a marathon in a banana suit trying to break the world record too.
But gotta beat those guys.
Yeah,
never
quite made it. Did the suit survive 13.1 miles?
Oh, absolutely. I just took it to the dry cleaner, and it's good as new. It's kind of a life-proof suit. It's built out of a merino wool that's been treated slightly to be breathable, a little sweat resistant, and even it repels water a little bit. So in general, it's it was kind of to last even 21.1 K.
Whose suit is this? Who's the designer?
Sure. It's a suit supplier called Indochino, and they make custom-made suits. I approached them about the idea, and they were more than game. They were like, "Wow, this is like a perfect fit." And I was like, "Great."
So, did you experience any chafing with that kind of suit?
I didn't experience chafing during my training runs, but I did get a bit of rash on my knees by the end of the half marathon. I guess I was going a little bit faster than training pace. But yeah, pretty much had no hair on my kneecaps by the end of it.
So explain to people listening, what were you wearing that day?
Okay, just starting from the basic layers, I had a athletic tee on, just to kind of, again, keep that chafing down. I had a wrinkle-proof white Oxford shirt with a spread collar. I had a black bow tie made of silk, and then I had a full suit. It was completely tailored, it was right down to the numbers, and on top of that, just a pocket square, I didn't have to have a belt, but I did have a pair of suspenders.
Okay.
And then I was able, luckily, to wear just regular running shoes. Major key.
yeah, for sure. Because that was part of the world record, right? Is that you're allowed to wear a pair of running shoes and athletic socks?
And athletic socks, yes.
Okay.
But I ended up wearing dress socks anyway.
Man, you were styling. I saw the pictures of it.
You did look quite dapper.
Wow. It was like people could pick you out of a crowd. Like, you know, like I'm used to watching marathons, and, you know, I ask my friends to wear, like, you know, the day glow bright yellow so I can pick them out of the crowd, right? But people would notice you coming down the ramp for sure.
Yeah, certainly they did. The crowds along the half marathon are really excellent. In fact, it's you actually get a crowd for the entire 21.1K, and everybody was like, "Hey, yeah, awesome, go suit guy, go." Unfortunately, after kilometer five, I pretty much had to stop saying, "Yeah, thanks," and just started feebly giving them thumbs up when I could.
So, obviously, this is a major part of your life as a fashion reporter. Do you think you're going to challenge that record or go for the full marathon record one day?
Well, the full marathon record is extremely stiff. I can't exactly give you the exact time, but somewhere in the 3-hour range, and it's a brutal one. Like, let me tell you, I'm actually surprised I managed to set this one. This one's already pretty tough. But if someone does beat it, I will more than likely try to challenge it. I guess maybe it's a little bit of an ego thing, but it's also, you know, a training thing. I feel like I can keep training hard, hopefully one day get it even better, you know, solidify my position, I suppose.
When did you start running?
I started running about 3 years ago, just kind of started doing 1Ks and 2Ks here and there. About 2 years ago, I joined a group here in Toronto, a run crew called Tribe Fitness, where I started picking up to longer distances. But last November, I think, was when my real breakthrough started, when I joined with Pace in Mind and Coach Razan Chasson. I think that's when it started really picking things up and dropping a lot of minutes off my times.
And have you run a half marathon prior to this?
I did. I've run two half marathons prior to this. The first one being the Run Through the Grapes in St. Catharines, which was just around the 2-hour mark, just a bit below that. And then the Vancouver half marathon, and that was somewhere 146, 147-ish.
So you're knocking your time down quite a bit every time.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the training, how it's been working out.
Awesome. So, you know what, Nick, while you're joining us, why don't you tell us a little bit about your blog?
Yeah, sure. The Gentleman Journalist is a little project I started when I was in journalism school. It kind of fell by the wayside, but in the last year, I've been really picking it up. And indeed, this entire adventure, I suppose, has been chronicled on my blog. So a lot of people enjoy checking it out there. Have an editorial shoot of me running in a suit. It's actually pretty funny. I never thought I'd do that. But yeah.
And you must be getting phone calls. I mean, you've done a number of, I've seen your article all over the web. I mean, you're getting calls from all over the country?
I am getting a lot of requests for interviews. Runner's World is probably the latest to pick it up. I've gotten, oddly enough, a few requests from small French language newspapers in France. But I think the highlight thus far was having Arianna Huffington, my boss at the Huffington Post, actually tweet me. And that went out to,
nice.
I don't know, thousands of people. And I was so excited to have that.
That's great. That's absolutely wonderful. Nicholas, thanks for joining us. I wish you all the best. And you know what? I mean, I myself am wearing running flat this evening with some bike shorts, and I've got my Sauconnets on. You're wearing Melissa Bishop, of course, is, you know, a wonderful athlete. Nike,
yes,
as usual with
Nike.
With some of the craziest running shoes I've ever seen. And like, I've seen a lot of running shoes, my friend. They're white with what is that?
They're polka dots. They're red polka dots. We'll tweet them out.
Yes.
We'll take a picture during the break.
Yeah. They're very fashionable.
Yeah.
Extremely fashionable. So we will definitely tweet that out. Nick, thanks for joining us. All the best. Thanks, Nick. You are listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800. When we come back, we're going to talk to Melissa Bishop about getting back in the game and getting ready for Rio on Running Flat Radio.
Just take the kids' word for it. Let AM 800 tell you whether or not the school buses are running. Word comes directly from the school boards weekday mornings by 6:30.
A Japanese, a German, and an American auto executive get into a car. An all-new 2016 Hyundai Elantra with standard rear-view camera, sunroof, fog lights, and more. They're stumped.
Nani? How does Hyundai do it?
Heck! How does Hyundai do it?
How does Hyundai do it?
Get into the new Elantra SE with GL features plus sport appearance package. A combined total of $5,000 in value savings. The competition just can't figure out how we do it. That's the H Factor. The Hyundai Advantage ends November 2nd. Dealer may sell for less. Visit HyundaiCanada.com for details.
Kings of Chaos, Robin Zander, Cheap Trick, Sebastian Bach, Skid Row, Gilby Clark, Duff McKagan, and Matt Sorum. Guns N' Roses, and Steve Stevens, Billy Idol. This Thursday night, the Coliseum at Caesars Windsor. Tickets on sale now at CaesarsWindsor.com. Know your limit, play within it. Must be 19 years of age or older to attend performance or enter the casino.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex. An information update with Mike McDonald.
Heavy rain and thunderstorms expected over much of southern Ontario tonight. Anywhere from 20 to 50 millimeters of rain expected overnight and into tomorrow in this part of the province. The storm is part of what's left of Hurricane Patricia as it tracks toward the Great Lakes. The Essex Region Conservation Authority has issued a flood watch as a result of this passing storm. Director of Watershed Management Services Tim Burney says tonight's heavy rain could overwhelm drainage in urban areas with high winds causing flooding along the shore. Postal Workers Union is relieved the installation of community mailboxes has been put on hold. Local CUPW Vice President Phil Lyon says community mailboxes really only belong in new subdivisions, and the union will be waiting to see where the conversation goes from here. Public consultations will now be held to determine a future direction of the community mailbox program. In sports, the Red Wings are home to Carolina tonight, while the Montreal Canadiens go for its 10th straight win as they visit Vancouver tonight. Junior B hockey has LaSalle taking on Lambton Shores. Junior C hockey has the Essex 73s home to Alvinston, and the World Series starts tonight with the Kansas City Royals entertaining the New York Mets. From the AM 800 Weather Center, a rainfall warning is in effect. Heavy rain expected throughout the night with some high wind gusts getting down to a low of around 11 or so. Tomorrow, heavy rain continuing throughout the day with winds gusting up to 70 kilometers an hour, the high of 17. Right now it's 11 Celsius, that's 52 Fahrenheit. I'm Mike McDonald, AM 800 News.
Running Flag Radio on AM 800. Get more info on local races and registration at runningflag.com.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski here. As every week, the show is live. I think in the last 2.5 years, we've only really taped a couple interviews. One being Lanny Marchand yesterday, or last week, and of course, the Premier of Ontario because of just scheduling conflicts. And from time to time, you know, we always have an issue technically trying to get folks, but we always try to keep the show as live as possible so you can actually... get the real interviews. And joining me is Melissa Bishop in studio. She's done it in the past before. It's so great having you here. I think it's probably been about 3 or 4 months since you've been here before you went to Beijing.
Yeah.
For the World Championships. So let's talk about Beijing. What was it like?
Beijing was very exciting. It was... I was here to talk about Pan Ams, right? I came in right after Pan Ams.
Yeah, and you brought that big... That big piece of gold hardware,
gold medal, yeah.
From your gold medal, you know, which was beautiful. Did you bring the silver?
I did. Yes, it's in my purse. You can have a glance at it.
We got to tweet a picture of that out.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was a great experience. I'd never been to Asia before at all, so you know, I got to see some of the country, and we had a pre-camp in South Korea on a little island, and that was it was really cool just to kind of see a different part of the world.
So let me ask you, how early would you go to an event like that before competing?
We went over, I'm going to say about just less than 2 weeks before my first competition date. So we left on August 12th and I went into Beijing on August 23rd.
And so is that like to do a climate, to get acclimated to the humidity, to all of that?
Yeah, it's time change, it's the humidity, it's the food, it's I mean, the travel is the toughest part, right? It was exceptionally long flight, and just getting your surroundings, and it's kind of like a little mini training camp to get your head in the right space and your body moving again after a hard training block. I mean, that those you almost need like 5 days just to kind of feel like yourself again.
Is that something that Athletics Canada does with all the group of Canadians that are going as a delegation to the World Championships?
Yeah. They actually went over earlier than that. They went over on the 8th of August. And okay. Dennis and I, we have traveled so much that we know what works for us. And we knew being over there that early, we would just be burnt out by the time the race came around. So we went according to my race schedule, and they had no issues with me coming. There's a lot of athletes who actually went in a lot later than the whole group going.
And how many athletes would there be? Do you have an idea?
Total?
Yeah.
I think there was 30-some of us, I want to say.
Representing Canada.
Yeah, I could be totally off the mark there, but that would be my guess.
Okay.
Between 30 and 40 athletes. There was a big contingency of us, and we did very well. Really well. We racked up a lot of medals.
So we mentioned this in the break, that there's actually cash for the winners at the IAAF level.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know what IAAF is, I mean, that's the large amateur body that controls all of sports when it comes to track and field. And really, the IAAF, you know, has a world championship every... 2 years?
Yep.
Is it? Okay. And the one race that they do not have is the half marathon at that race.
Only a full.
Only a full, which is the oddest thing, because they do have a traveling IAAF half marathon world championship, which is due in 2018, is that race.
It's a separate event.
Why? Why?
I can't answer that for you.
I know.
I'm not sure.
I've asked him that as well, is why, and I just don't get much of an answer. But anyway, but the IAAF actually has cash for the winners, which I thought was really shocking to me, because I always thought it was amateur sports and no one was allowed to get money, and that's why you got good medals and the titles and everything else. But I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't know actually either until our race walker, Ben Thorne, he came in bronze... a few days before my competition, and I was reading some of his media after, and one of the questions was, what is he going to do with the prize money? And I was like, what prize money? I didn't know there was prize money. So maybe that was a little extra fire under my butt during the race. I don't know. But, you know, I had no idea either until I was there.
Right. And how is that different than the Pan American Games competition wise?
Well, Worlds is it's everybody, right? Pan Ams is it's only a select few countries.
Correct.
And Pan Ams, you're missing a lot of the big key players, a lot of the big European countries. Obviously, the Americans are with us at Pan Am, so they're a big player.
Right.
But Worlds is, it's kind of like the pregame leading into the Olympics, if you will.
So the Americans give money for gold, silver, bronze at the Olympic level. What are the Canadians doing in regards to track and field?
At the Olympic level, I believe they also do. I'm not sure of the amount or how substantial it is, but I believe at the Olympics, they do. Canada does give out prize money, but not for world championships.
So when you're in Beijing, was there a contingent of Canadians there cheering you on?
Other than our team, no.
An opposite from the Pan Americans being in Toronto, right? Where everyone's cheering you
completely
on.
Completely opposite. Not that the crowd was any less enthusiastic because they were totally into it over there. But my boyfriend, he came over, and Dennis Farrell, my coach, he was also in attendance there. So having those two and really important people there was enough for me. And then obviously all your teammates. I mean, you couldn't hear one person to the next in the stadium anyway. So. Actually, in my first round, my boyfriend was sitting two rows up from the track, and I could hear him on my way home, like into the home stretch, just saying like, be relaxed, Melissa, finish strong. Like I could hear him yelling because it was a morning session, so there weren't a lot of people in the stadium.
Right.
So I was able to hear him. But after that, the afternoon night sessions were pretty ecstatic.
What a treat. So did you get a chance to see any of Beijing?
No. Well, I saw the silk market. A group of friends and I, we went to the silk market and, you know, we bartered for some things. It's an exhausting excursion to kind of have to kind of argue with people and bring the price down. But they just set it so high that you have to argue to bring it down. There'd be no way you would pay the full price.
Right.
The Great Wall was on our list, but because my race fell on the last 2 days of the World Championships, it just didn't work out in our schedule. Like the day after the final, I was exhausted. I couldn't get out of bed. I was flat out done. So I couldn't have walked the Great Wall by any means.
So how many heats are there?
There was three rounds.
Okay.
And we had a day rest in between the semi and the final.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It was a absolutely wonderful experience. I look back at pictures and I still get the same kind of euphoria and excitement, and I'm kind of sad it's over. It's like lunch bag letdown. Like it was such a big lead up and now it's over, and I know the work that needs to be put in this coming year, and I think it's daunting. It's a daunting task ahead of me.
And can you tell us what you've been doing since the World Championships and winning the silver medal?
I went home to Eganville, and I spent a lot of time with my parents, and I visited a lot of the schools in and around there, and Eganville had a very welcoming home party for me. I like a little meet and greet.
Yep.
And then I went to visit my boyfriend in Saskatchewan. And now I'm back in Windsor, back on the grind, back, you know, putting the miles in and really getting a good base season in.
So what does the winter look like for you?
We'll have a few indoor races right now. We have two training camps scheduled before April, one in January, just to get out of the cold and kind of like kickstart the indoor season. So those are the two really main things, is the racing and the training camps. But up until then, it'll just be training.
Training camps are foreign. They're down south?
Or? Yeah. Florida and Arizona usually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when does the race season start for you?
Outdoors?
Yeah.
We're looking to start around the end of May, second last week in May.
Okay. But there's an indoor series
there
as well?
There is. There's World Championships are actually this year. They're indoors. They're in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Tracktown USA.
Sure, it's
a pretty big meet.
Yeah.
So that is a potential. Dennis and I, we will discuss where it falls in our schedule and what it looks like leading up into Rio, right? So everything is kind of like really planned going into Rio. So we'll see where it falls in our schedule.
Interesting. And when do you know about Rio? How does all that work in Canada?
Well, I have my qualifying standard, so my 157 qualifies me on time, but I still need to be top three at Canadian Nationals, which happened next June in Edmonton. So as long as I'm top three there, then I'm on a plane to Rio. So I won't know if I make the Olympic team until June.
Is that like unfair? I know it's kind of odd asking this question, but I mean the Olympics are in August.
Yeah.
And you know, you've already ran the standard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shouldn't you just be focused on you know the podium in Rio and then getting your family there and then buying the tickets and booking the plane and getting all that stuff done like six, 7 months in advance?
I'm gonna say it's unfair for the spectators of track and field, like my parents and my coach and, you know, anybody who wants to come watch, because there's no guarantee that I'll be there. If it's as athletes, I think we do need to show improvement, not improvement. We do need to show fitness every year. And going into the Olympics is such a big event. You want to be sending your best. So, and I don't know any different. This is how it's always been. It's not like I came from the background that you just had standard and you went. It's always been you had to be top three for every event, not even the Olympics, even World Championships and Commonwealth Games. You had to be top three. So I don't know any different. But in terms of family and spectators coming, I think it just leaves it a little tight. It's a little stressful for them.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And it's also premium, right? I mean, because you've got like 60 days to the Olympics. Everything's premium, like flights, trying to get tickets, you know,
scalping
tickets.
Well, right now I think it's premium too. It's not looking that much cheaper right now, but I can only imagine what it might cost in June. So hopefully, you know, we can figure something out and, you know, my coach and my parents and my boyfriend can be there.
Now, the interesting thing you and I had just talked about at the break was at the Olympics in 2012, P&G, who was an Olympic sponsor, we're also helping athletes out with family tickets.
Mm-hmm. So they're a Canadian Olympic sponsor.
Okay.
They gave parents of anybody who had a child at the Olympics tickets to their event as they qualified.
Awesome.
So my parents got tickets to my first round at the Olympics. And if I would have qualified for the previous round, they also would have got tickets. Because P&G does the whole mom thing.
And yeah, it's a campaign, right?
Yeah,
right.
It's a huge campaign. So they're very about the support system that we get from parents and you know, people who play big roles like that in our lives.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Great campaign.
Because those tickets aren't cheap.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. We haven't even been able to find tickets, to be honest.
For real?
Mm-hmm. They like, release a little bit, and then we can't get them.
Well, hopefully Athletics Canada can help with that.
I hope so.
Well, you're listening to Running Flat Radio with my special golden guest co-host, Melissa Bishop, in studio. You know, when we come back, we will be talking to Ben. But we're going to do, before we go to Ben and before we go to break, we got to do Song of the Week. And the Song of the Week is really just some really cool new music that you can put into your workout music. And this is Kassassin Street with Talking Riddles on Running Flat Radio.
Arboriculturist, an expert in the cultivation and preservation of trees.
N is for ornithologist, a meteorologist who specializes in clouds.
S is for setting the standard for great teaching.
When we equip our teachers to excel, there's no telling what our students will achieve. The Ontario College of Teachers regulates teaching in Ontario by setting high professional and ethical standards, approving teacher education programs, and licensing our teachers. Discover how the Ontario College of Teachers sets the standard for great teaching.
At OCT.ca.
From the AM 800 Weather Center, here is your latest forecast. A rainfall warning is in effect. Heavy rain expected this evening, up to 20 millimeters with some high wind gusts, getting down to a low of 12. Tomorrow, heavy rain continuing with winds gusting up to 70 clicks. Look for a high of 17. For Thursday, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a high 9. Friday, a mix of sun and cloud, the high 12. Once again, a rainfall warning is in effect. Heavy rain expected throughout the night, up to 20 millimeters with some high wind gusts, getting down to a low of 12.
Sell down deals continue for a limited time at Windsor Honda. Proudly selling cars built in Ontario for Canadians by Canadians. Owner Ken Enser and General Manager Mark Trembacher invite you to Windsor Honda to shop inventory turnover deals on the 2015 Civic LX. Only $59 per week, taxes in for 60 months. Zero due at signing and get your first 15 payments free or choose a winter tire package at no charge with first year's installation and storage included. There's only a few 2015s left, so get yours before they're gone. For details, visit WindsorHonda.com.
I don't work within the same rules as traditional law enforcement.
Sharon Stone is vice president.
Shut the front door.
With a lethal weapon she didn't know existed.
What exactly have I found?
The greatest secret in the history of our country.
This fall on Bravo.
John Case at your service, ma'am, vice president.
No kidding?
No kidding.
The secret is out.
Impressive.
Sharon Stone stars in Agent X. Premieres November 10 at 10. Only on Bravo.
When you are able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons
to the full 26.2 miles.
We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio. Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chrissy Zinski here with my special co-host, Melissa Bishop, who they just tweeted out some pictures of those crazy shoes you got on, those Nikes, the white ones with the red polka dots on them. You know what? It's time for our good friend, Ben Kaplan from Iron Magazine.
This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800. Tonight's running news is brought to you by iRun.
Welcome, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
So, you know, I have Melissa Bishop in studio. Finally, we got a chance to get her down to Windsor and talk about running. And there's something special going on with you guys.
Yeah, that's great. It's a great time to announce it. Melissa will be on our next cover, our December Christmas cover.
Awesome.
Yeah, we went to her mom's place for a photo shoot, and the results are just stunning. And Melissa, as hard as she runs, is as hard as she works, because she was a champ. It was pretty cold conditions, and she got out there and didn't flinch under pressure. She was a good trooper, so, you know, we appreciate it, and the results are spectacular.
Oh, it was all lots of fun.
Awesome. I can't wait to get that issue. So, you know, you and I had kind of gone back and forth this week about this announcement that came out regarding, your favorite proteins.
Yeah, yeah. tough week for meat eaters, and with red meat under the gun, with bacon under the gun, with, deli meat under the gun.
Poor bacon.
Yeah, yeah. The sausages aren't looking good.
Polska kielbasa is not looking that good either, my friend.
The thing with these announcements, though, they need to be taken with a grain of salt. There was a great piece in the cover of the Globe today. You know, the screaming headlines, of course, we're talking about the WHO announcing that bacon and sausage can be carcinogenics. But the dosage that they're recommending, I mean, what they're saying is, you know, extreme amounts of this stuff isn't good. But, you know, very few things are you able to sustain, extreme amounts of. So, you know, a lot of times these the headlines seem to do most of the work. And then when you read the actual story, it's like, well, I don't know who's eating 100 grams of bacon every day.
I'm sure somebody is.
Melissa.
Not Melissa. But you know what? Like, I remember going to Poland, and I'll tell you what, every meal was like smoked sausage, but there's a lot of vodka involved as well. So, I don't know. It's hard to remember sometimes. So, look, there's no doubt that lots of runners love red meat. I mean, there's so many people that I run with in running groups. And, we'll have a burger after a joint run, or, a steak. Lots of folks do different things. You know, it's really funny. President Clinton, after his heart attack, well, his heart issues and the stent replacement, became a vegan. And I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that until I first met him in 2010. And he's huge into Diet Coke. Like, dude, like, there's Diet Coke everywhere when he's around. But he became a vegan.
Right.
And completely stayed away from all meats. And if you remember how he looked a number of years ago to how he looks today, you'll see that he's just incredibly thin and slender. But he's fit because he still runs, you know, a good 5K a day. And pounds it out. So,
but with the Diet Cokes, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know where in the Canadian food guidelines it says to pound 4 or 5 Diet Cokes a day. I don't think that's, you know, probably recommended.
I think it's just a vice, man. I think it's just a vice, you know, but you know, it's always, you know, that issue that, you know, and we should have a couple guys on to talk about this in the future, and that's how do you deal with the issue of protein replacement if you're getting rid of all of your red meats and your chickens and your fish, and you know, I can't imagine a world without all that, by the way. I mean, I love my fish, and you know, I don't eat a lot of red meat, but I don't know, you're nodding a lot.
Melissa, what do you eat? I'm interested to hear what the chicken.
Yeah. No, I eat red meat and I eat chicken, and you know, I eat a lot of protein sources, but that doesn't mean that I stay away from, you know, a protein powder. Like Darcy with Infinite Nutrition, yeah. They produce like one of the highest quality standards of protein that there is. So it's not a regular in my diet, the protein powder. I stick to whole foods, and I think that's what it's about.
Yeah.
How close do you watch your diet? Do you keep a food log, and are you always aware of how many calories you're at and how many carbohydrates you have and all of that? How much closely do you watch it?
No, not that closely, Ben. You know, right now I'm it's whatever I feel like eating and what I think my body needs. But you know, competition season, it's very much a clean diet.
Right.
You know, if I want a chocolate or a candy bar, then for sure I'll have it, but it's in moderation. But I don't by any mean cut out any kind of protein sources when I'm watching my diet.
You know, and that is that something that you regulate, or is that something a coach regulates with you?
I have a nutritionist who, yeah. I mean, we do body fat compositions, you know, on the regular, especially leading into big championship races. And, you know, we have data going back like from 2011. So that's something we monitor very closely with professionals. It's not, you know, something I'm like researching on the internet or... I just choose to do it. We work very closely with professionals to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's someone that you work with here, or does that also get sanctioned by Athletics Canada?
Yeah, his name is Trent Stellingworth, actually. He's so good at his job. But he works for Athletics Canada as well as the Sports Center, CSI Pacific. He's one of their lead physiologists, nutritionists, but he also works for...
We should get him on and talk about the Diet Coke diet.
Oh, he'd love it.
he's serious, and he's the best.
He is the best of the best. He's really one of the best we have in Canada.
You know, I had a good rule of thumb because a lot of stuff was going on social media and everything, and BuzzFeed had like this massive headline about, you know, your sausage will kill you, and somebody, you know, which is what they do, but you know, somebody had a level-headed approach which sort of stuck with me by the day's end, and I was looking forward to sharing tonight. You know, if 85% of your choices are good, you're probably okay.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty common with everything. I mean, as long as you're diligent and get into really good habits, right? I mean,
it's
not a good habit.
No, it's not the Big Mac once in 3 weeks it's going to kill you. It's the Big Mac every day. 3 weeks it's going to kill you.
Yeah. And I know a lot of marathon runners who went to McDonald's last weekend after, you know, Scotiabank in Detroit. I mean, they all went to McDonald's and had their Big Macs.
I do that as well. You know, after a good race, we'll head over to McDonald's. We'll have a good burger. You got to enjoy the little things in life, right? And it's not always about that. And you choose the right times to do that. But
I like that because I think the point is really with this, and I fall into this trap too, whereas I'm so diligent, you know, when I'm training, and then when I'm not training, it's just like lights out. You know, I'll have a banana split for breakfast. I'm done with that. But because if you get so sick of it, you know, that binge and purge mentality, And that's not, you know, Melissa's not doing that. That's not good for anybody. The idea is to have a lifestyle, have the running be, you know, part of the way you live, part of the way you are. So it's not that you're dialing it way up and then dialing it way down, but you're generally sustaining it like, an eight. You know, you're just taking care of yourself.
Yeah, and you're right, and it's a lifestyle, and it's a habit, and it's getting out and doing your walk or doing your run or whatever it is, and then, you know, doing your stretching or doing your workouts and kind of keeping it all together all within a time frame, and then making good choices throughout the day. So I'm going to try to make good choices.
There you go, because we're a little worried about you, frankly, with that Poland story. I mean, how much vodka did you have?
I can't talk about that on air. I'm sorry. Ben Kaplan, thanks for joining us, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, brother.
It's great talking to Ben. You know what? It's that time of the week. It's crazy how we just the hour just flies by, and we're, you know, thanks very much for coming in. You're welcome anytime
on
the show.
Well, thank you. No problem.
Especially now that you're in town, anytime you want to come by. We've got all kinds of really interesting interviews coming up. I think next week is Corey Feldman, who's the She's the race director of the Toronto Women's Toronto Running Series, half marathons and 10Ks in Toronto. A fellow race director here in Canada. Always a great story and great insights. But special thanks to Nick Mazera for his fashion and his Guinness World Book of Record. Check out his blog at Gentleman Journalist. Thanks to our good friend Ben Kaplan from Iron Magazine and to our special host, co-host Melissa Bishop for welcoming anytime, really. Go to runningflat.com for race information as well as this show is on podcast. You can start running at any age. Just make sure you talk to your doctor first. That's all we ask before you start exercising in any kind of program. So thanks for joining me, and keep running.
And that's all I have to say about that.
And that's the end of it.
End of episode.
Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800. Running Flat Radio is a paid program. Local news is next on AM 800 CKLW, the information station.